Okay, the first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kim.
My husband is a fifth grade teacher, and each fall he kicks off the year with a creative writing assignment. Write vividly, he tells them, about a powerful memory that you have. The stories he gets handed back in are amazing, and as often as not, the parents don't look very good. Last year, there was a dramatic retelling of being in a huge hotel in a large Asian city when a fire broke out. The family gathered together and wandered their way through actual smoke, not just ringing alarms. But as they got to the door and almost complete safety, the father ran back to the room to get his wallet. Not good role modeling. This year, there was a gripping story about finding the perfect Christmas tree in Whistler, Colorado, fording a river in winter in Colorado, ending up on an island and noticing just across the other side of the river were way better Christmas trees. And so looking for a way to get across, noticing that the river was deeper and faster, and I know colder on that side, the father found a dead log and began shimmying out on it. As his 9-year-old daughter was following him and said, "Dad, are we really going to do this?" He turned back and said, "Well, we want the perfect Christmas tree, don't we?" She wrote about slipping but not falling in. If she'd fallen in, I don't think she would have been there to write the story. We want the best Christmas tree, don't we? Well, huh. These stories, when Bruce shares them with me, always remind me of the time that we took our son Caleb, who was 3, for a canoe ride in Myakka State Park. It's really a great big swamp filled with large gar and much larger alligators. As we began paddling through with our toddler, my paddle bumped something, and it was a fish, but the fish bumped the bottom of the canoe, and I turned to Bruce and said, "What are we doing here? Let's get out of here." So we paddled back to the dock, and all night long when I slept, I had nightmares. In the morning, I contemplated calling and turning myself into social services. Just because the people were willing to rent us a canoe with a toddler did not mean that it was a wise thing to do, to enter an alligator swamp where they think of toddlers as kind of chicken McNuggets, just the right size. I share these stories to remind us of how out of character these slips in judgment are for most parents. Nearly every single person who has ever had a baby spends the next 20 or 30, or 40, or 50 years doing every single thing they can do to keep their child safe. And not just safe, but equipped for life. It begins by standing over the crib the first few days, right? And breathing in with them, and breathing out. and breathing in. And if they catch their breath for a minute, you will breathe for them. But it doesn't stop there. It spirals out there from early childhood into reading groups at the library and swimming lessons, correction of manners when they're not there, reading at night and hiking during the day, piano lessons, glasses and braces, physical therapy if necessary, scouts, trips and talks, on and on it goes. We are watching out for our children. We are providing them with what they need. We are paving the way for them to be successful. We can hardly believe the great big messes that each of us understand ourselves to be, that we have been entrusted with these precious, extraordinary lives. And we make it our life's work to give them what they need, all that they need, so that they will thrive. If you've not had your own children, I know that there's probably a child or two who has come into your life that you have felt that same kind of commitment and blessing to. But sometimes we get confused about what our children really need. While we're working so hard to give them every imaginable toy and every cultural experience necessary and every educational hand-up possible, we can easily overlook what is utterly essential to raise healthy, thriving children. What we need to give our children more than anything else is the knowledge of who they are and whose they are. And here's a surprising piece, friends. Even though they belong to us, even though they often come from our own biological makeup, but not always, we as their parents are not ultimately who they belong to. They are, from beginning to end, God's. So whose our children are is God's. God entrusts us and works in partnership with us, but they are ultimately God's. When the Israelites were about to enter into the long-awaited promised land, God had them gather together and instructed them to live by the Ten Commandments that had just been handed down. When they were all assembled, God added these words to them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love. It's an amazing thing that God has gathered them to give them the rules. And after God gets their attention and calls them to swear off all other gods in the land, the very first instruction that God gives them is to love. It's almost as you think about the hard sciences and the soft sciences, the laws and the grace. The very first instruction God gives is to love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, which means every bit of who you are. The thoughts you think, the emotions you experience, the way you use your body. Love the Lord your God. These commandments, so these are the Ten Commandments and this instruction to love, that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. So not just cognitive, not just a cold analytic thinking, but in your very way of breathing, in your way of living life. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, comma, impress them upon your children. There is nothing closed off about the knowledge that we are called to love God. And that is what we give our children that is the very best, most strong, empowering, equipping gift they can have. We are to teach our children to love God, to trust God, to know that God is trustworthy. The scripture goes on, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up. This is no 1 hour on Sunday morning kind of thing. This is when you're in the lazy boy and when you're on the highway. This is when you're awake at night and can't sleep and even when you're dreaming. And this is when you get up to start your day. Remember to love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And teach the very same thing to your children. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Orthodox Jews do exactly that. They have these things called phylactics that are small leather boxes that hold particular scriptures in them. They put them on their foreheads. It's not a pretty sight. They really have to love God to be willing to look goofy like that. But they do. And I think that for us who have been freed from some of the symbolism and some of the strictures of Orthodox Judaism, through Christ are really being told, always be thinking about this and always be having it affect what you do with your hands. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. One year, we in the adult Bible study all got these pieces to put on the door, mezuzahs they're called, and we put the great Shema, which is this passage from Deuteronomy. And when Jewish people who have them on their doors leave their house, they kiss the mezuzah that has the scripture in it. And it reminds them as they go out to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when they come home, they kiss it as well, so that your family benefits from that same saturation in faith. This passage goes on to instruct the Israelites, in the future, when your son or daughter asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? You are to tell your children, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, and the Lord commanded us to obey all of these decrees. Now, I'm a theology nerd and I'm a grammar nerd, and I love the fact that this is present tense. The Jews who are being instructed to do this, and the Jews in the future who are told to do this, did not see the release from Pharaoh. They are generations removed, and yet they are to tell their children when they ask, why do we obey the laws? Because we were slaves in Egypt, and with a mighty hand, God freed us. What is your Egypt that God has released you from? What are the ways in which God's mighty hand is active in your life? These are the things we're asked to share with our children. These are the things that will make them whole. When we speak of how God equips and frees us to live a full life. And God knows what our children need most from us are the stories of the people of faith and of our families. The story of how God has been present and caring, guiding and loving, constant in our lives. What our children need most from us is the role modeling of faith that thinks about God when we sit down and when we stand up, when we walk along the road, when we lay down, and when we get up. Faith is meant to be a constant, so that it will be a whole part of our lives, so that we can learn to love God fully. It's hard to love someone or something that you don't really know. God needs to be a part of our lives, not just when things fall apart, but when things are going great and all the way in the middle. The day that the Challenger exploded, years and years ago, I was homesick with the flu, and we didn't have anything other than a radio. So I listened to the radio all day long. And you know, when there's a crisis, you hear the same story if you're stuck with a radio all day long and nothing else. And I heard this young man say probably 14 times over the course of the day, it really makes you wonder where God is on a day like today. And every time he said it, I yelled at the radio. It's something I do. Because I can bet you if that had gone off without a hitch, that young man would not have said, oh, God's at work. I can tell you that if things had worked out just fine, that young man would not have said, wow, look at God keeping everything together. What this is telling us is that God needs to be a part of our life in the hard times and the good times. Not just when we're confused, not just when we're overwhelmed, but always. And that's how we learn to love God, when God is there day in and day out. Faith is meant to be a constant, so that it will be a part of our whole lives, so that we can fully love God. And we are specifically instructed to teach this faith to our children, not only so that we can pass it on to them, not only so that they can be a part of our tradition, but I absolutely believe it's because our children understand faith in a way that we don't. They have a unique and persuasive perception of faith. You see, when God instructs us in a certain behavior, we may think that we are being given a hard task. But always, when God tells us to do things a certain way, we can be sure that if we are obedient, we will be blessed. I once had a friend who was putting her child to bed. This is Beverly Ostrowski, who was your pastor in Atlanta for a while. And he was having a hard time getting to sleep. She had gone in to help him settle a couple times. And the third time she went in, she said, "Why are you having such a hard time falling asleep? Don't you know that God is here with you and will be with you all night long?" And her son turned to her and said, "I know, Mommy, but I need God with skin on." Now, she was just beginning seminary, and yet she learned in that split second more about the incarnation, about the need for Jesus Christ to come in human form, than any of her systematic theology classes taught her. Our children teach us how to love God and who God is, even as we attempt to teach them. And if we leave it all up for grabs to discover their own path, yes, I'm making fun of some people with that tone of voice, we are stealing from them. We are not equipping them with all that they need. We have to give them information to wrestle with. If we give them nothing, then they have nothing. Sometimes our children understand spirituality better than we do. And so when God commands us to impress our faith upon them, part of what God is ensuring is that we will understand faith through a child's perspective. And that will ground us and guide us more deeply than many of my sermons will. Jesus says the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Ken and Seiko have come here today to have their beautiful little daughter, Sayaka, baptized because they want what is best for her. And Ken remembers fondly being raised in this church. As I've met with them a couple times over the last month, he's asked about a lot of you. Does such and such still come? Is such and such still helping with coffee hour? Where's this person? Some have gone on to glory, and many of you are still here. We've spoken about Deb, his mother, and all that she did in this church, teaching Sunday school, having Girl Scouts, playing music, bringing concerts in. It is a wonderful thing that this building evokes such strong family memories for them, so that he was raised with a faith in God and a knowledge that the world was full of people who loved him. What Ken and Seiko will find is that even as you provide Sayaka with faith, she will strengthen yours. She will teach you more deeply who God is and how reliable God's love is. That's what happens when we open ourselves to faith. Even as we are strengthened and others are strengthened, we are all built up. As our children are baptized, as we become a faithful family, God is present in our midst, but we also enlarge our family. We belong to one another through the grace of Jesus Christ. What a gift that God's obedience blesses us when we do what we're told to do. So hear, old residents of Windsor, Vermont, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And may the children among you know this faith, that they may strengthen yours and grow their own. Amen.